Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. During the season of Advent, we've been focusing on family life. We've talked about Jesus' ancestors. Then last week, we focused on Zechariah and Elizabeth. Today, we get to talk about the biggest family of all, the family that you and I are a part of, God's family. As I mentioned last week, we talked about Zechariah and Elizabeth, a hurting family. But God heard their prayers and in their old age gave them a son named John. Most people know him today as John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. Our gospel lesson this week is about John and the message that he preached to the people. Now, John had two main messages that he preached. The Bible says he preached repentance, and number two, he preached the forgiveness of sins. Or, in our words, John preached law and gospel, which is the same two messages that Jesus preached, and the same two messages our church preaches. These two messages tell us who we are and tell us about who we are as members of the family of God. So let's talk about God's family. Number one, God's family is a sinful family. The book of John describes the beginning of John's ministry this way. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. So John's not the light of the world. He comes to bear witness to the light. He's not the Christ. He is the forerunner of Christ. He is sent by God to prepare the way for Christ, to make straight paths for him. As John says, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. So notice the difference here. Jesus is the word of God made flesh, but John is a voice. He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. In other words, John's message is repent. What does it mean to repent? Well, to repent is the complete changing of a person's heart and mind. It means to completely change your life from the inside out. Now, we can't do that by ourselves. We're not capable of doing that. We need God's help to be able to repent. But to repent means to recognize our own sinfulness, confess our sinfulness before the Lord. That's the work of the law. The law is one of the main messages of God's word, the Bible. And the law shows our sin. Romans 3:20 says, For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. God's law is a mirror that shows us our sin. It's not fun, it's not comfortable, and it doesn't make us feel good, but it is necessary. No human being likes the law because we are all, by nature, lawbreakers. Paul writes in Romans 3, verse 10, There is no one who is righteous, not even one. We all tend to do exactly what we can get away with. We break the law as much as we think we are able to without getting caught. But God's law shows us our sin. God's law shows us all the bad things we do. And God's law convicts us as sinners. The law tells us we are the ones who are wrong. We are the ones who are selfish. The law, first of all, convicts us of our actions, which are almost always selfish and self-centered. Not just what we do, but also what we choose not to do. We don't just sin by sins of commission, but also by omission, what we don't do as well. The law, secondly, convicts us of our words. All the times we've hurt people with unkind and unloving words. The Bible says reckless words pierce like a sword, and we are guilty of that, speaking recklessly, speaking foolishly, speaking hurtfully. And then there's the times we spoke when we should have stayed silent, and the times we stayed silent when we should have spoken up. But of course, the law goes even deeper than just our actions and our words. It condemns even our thought. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Even our thoughts are sinful, which shouldn't surprise us because every sinful action begins with a sinful thought. And Jesus makes it clear that when we sin against God in thoughts, we're just as guilty as if we sin against God in our words or in our actions. So the law has no mercy. The law condemns us. It convicts us as sinners. The law is not fun, the law is not comfortable, and the law does not make us feel good. But it is necessary. You know what? It's easy for us to spot the sins in other people. We love it when the law is applied to others. Like couple weeks ago when we talked about Herod. It's easy for us to talk about Herod's sins or David's sins or Manasseh's sins. Or it's easy for us to talk about the sins of our least favorite politicians or the sins of our least favorite celebrity. But the point of the law is not to show us other people's sins. The purpose of the law is to show us our sin and to remind us that there is a penalty for sin. Romans 3, verse 23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Romans 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death. The death it's talking about there is physical death. All people die because all people sin. But it's more than that. It's also eternal separation from God in hell forever. And it's not Herod's fault. It's not David's fault. It's not Manasseh's fault. It's not Washington, D.C.'s fault. It's not Hollywood's fault. It's my fault. My own fault. My own most grievous fault, and I can't do anything about it. I need a lot more than just information. I need more than just a motivational speech. When it comes to sin, I need to be rescued. But who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, who rescues me through Jesus Christ, my Lord. God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, into this world to save us from sin and from the consequences of sin, which include death and hell. That's the second, even more important message that John preached and we still preach today. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We may be a sinful family, but thanks be to God, we are a forgiven family. And that's point number two, a forgiven family. If the only message John preached, or Jesus preached, or I or any other pastor preached was law, that would be terrible. But God has another message for us, the second main doctrine of the Bible, and the more important of the two. It's called the gospel. The gospel points to Jesus Christ as our Savior. So John's ministry wasn't just preparation, it also included pointing. And John had the privilege of literally pointing to Jesus as the Savior, pointing to Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away our sins so that we can be forgiven members of God's family. The law shows our sin, but the gospel shows our Savior. Now, in the Old Testament, lambs, along with other animals, were used as blood offerings. Their blood and the blood of other sacrificial animals was required for the forgiveness of sins. Of course, as the Bible tells us, the blood of bulls and goats could never pay the price for sin. Those sacrifices all pointed towards a greater sacrifice, one great sacrifice that would pay the price for every sin ever committed, and every sin that ever would be committed. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, shedding his blood for the sins of the world. Now John, when he saw Jesus, simply pointed him out. Look, there he is. Behold, the very Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the entire world. So that's what pastors and preachers do today. We point to Jesus. We point to the cross. We look to Jesus and say, that's where you find your Savior. You can't save yourself. There is a rescuer, Jesus Christ. Our job is to prepare people through the law and point people to Jesus through the power of the gospel. The law shows our sin. The gospel shows our Savior. Now, John did more than just preach repentance and point to Jesus. He's known as John the Baptizer for a reason. When people repented, John baptized them, and that's how people joined the family of God. Jesus told his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. So baptism isn't law, it's gospel, because it shows us and points to our Savior Jesus and offers us forgiveness for our sins. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So in baptism, what do we receive? Well, we receive forgiveness of sins. Our sins are washed away. In baptism, we also receive the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live in us, to give us faith, strengthen us, encourage us, and empower us to say no to sin and yes to God. And in baptism, we're made part of God's family. Galatians 3:26 and 27 says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Baptism establishes our true identity. Who am I? I'm a child of God. Why? Because I say so? No, because God says so. So baptism isn't something I do for myself. It's something God does for me. In baptism, God adopts me and makes me his own child, not just for a few decades, not just for a lifetime, but forever. As baptized children of God, we now belong to the family of God. Now, it's not a perfect family. All of us here are sinful. It's a sinful family. But it is a forgiven family. And because we have all experienced the forgiveness that comes from God, we should be quick and eager to forgive others the same way God forgives us in Christ. And because we have experienced that forgiveness and grace for ourselves, we are also, number three, a joyful family. God's desire for his children is summarized in our epistle lesson today, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what does God want for us? What's his will, his desire for our lives? First, that we rejoice always. God's desire is not just for you to be happy, but for you to be filled with joy all the time, overflowing with joy so much that it touches other people's lives. God, your Father, doesn't want the worst for you. God wants the best for you, and he wants your life to be filled with joy, his joy. He also wants you to pray without ceasing. That's not a chore. It's an opportunity. When times are bad, we can ask for help. God will be there for you. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer you, says the Lord. But when times are good, what we can do is give thanks to the Lord, which leads us to the third thing God wants, to give thanks in all circumstances. So it's interesting to me, man, it's interesting to me that the more thankful you are, the more likely you are to be happy and joyful. It's the opposite of a vicious circle. It's a virtuous circle. Joy leads to prayer, which leads to giving thanks, which leads to more joy, which leads to more prayer, which leads to more giving. It's funny how that works, isn't it? What a great circle to be a part of. God wants his family to be a family of joy, but not just for our time here on earth, but for eternity. He wants to take us to a place where the joy never ends. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. God has called us to be his own children, and in baptism he has made us part of his family. Yes, it's not a perfect family. We are all sinners here. We confess our sins and look to God for the forgiveness he alone can give. But although we're not a perfect family, we're a sinful family, we are also, number two, a forgiven family. Forgiven by Christ, we're forgiven in the waters of baptism, all our sins are washed away. And because of that, we live a life of thanksgiving, prayer, and joy. We are a family that knows joy. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Rejoice always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep you in the true faith until life everlasting. Amen.